We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
Desde Santiago, Chile. It's amazing to be in the nations preaching the gospel of Jesus. I'm so excited that we as a church understand how important it is to go and tell all of the world about Jesus. Church, I'm missing you, but I'm so excited about all that's going to happen today at Metro Church. Just know we're doing the same thing, me and Pastor Richard, down here in South America. The people are amazing, but we're helping them understand it's not about religion, it's about relationship. It's about Jesucristo basta, or Jesus Christ is enough. We really need to focus on the fact that God sent a Savior and the world must know Him. I'm excited about all the good news I'm going to hear back home. So right now, would you put your hands together for Pastor Marco as he comes and brings an amazing word.
Amen. How are we doing today? You guys look beautiful, as always. I can't really see you because I'm blinded by the lights, but you all look good. I'm assuming, right? We're all going to be created in the image of God. Amen. Amen. I'm so excited to be with you guys this morning. I'm honored to be able to bring the word today. I want to welcome you if you're here for your first time. If you've been here before, I'm Pastor Marco. I'm the youth and young adult pastor as well with my wife, Pastor Jordan. And I'm honored, like I said, to be able to take the stage. I know I don't take this lightly at all, and I know no one that steps up on the stage ever does. Pastor Chad, as you guys saw, is in South America currently traveling between Argentina and Chile, I believe, for the next week and a half or 2 weeks. He's out there preaching the gospel, the good news of Jesus, amen, which I believe, do you guys believe that's what we're called to do? Amen. We're not meant to just stay here, we're meant to take it to the ends of the world because people need to know about Jesus, amen. And Pastor Don, he's actually, you guys know we're part of the Wave Network Collective, right? Wave Collective Network, part of Wave Church out in Virginia Beach. And they've actually asked Pastor Don to go and preach at a local church here in Norwell, Massachusetts. So he's bringing the word over there. So it's going to be amazing, guys. I mean, I believe that Metro Church is going to go beyond these four walls. Amen? Anybody believe that? Amen. Awesome. So we're going to pray together, and we're going to pray for Pastor Chad. We're going to pray for Pastor Don as they go and encourage these people. We're going to pray for this morning. Amen. Father, we thank you so much for what you've already done, God, because we know that if you did nothing else, God, you've already done more than enough for us, Jesus. God, we pray right now for Pastors Chad and Pastors Don, Father, that you help them, Father, in this where they are right now, God. Pastor Chad out in South America, God, that you speak through him, God. Give him wisdom, God. Protect him where he is, Jesus, that he may return home fine, Father. But I pray right now that you speak through him, God, as well as Pastor Don, Jesus. Give him the wisdom, God, that he needs, the confidence to, when he gets on stage, Lord, preach your word, Father, boldly, with love, but with truth, Jesus. We thank you this morning for what you're about to do, God. Speak to your people, God. We need to hear from you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You guys ready for the word? Yeah. Awesome, awesome. I'm really excited about this word. I believe it can change some lives, right? Anybody needs a little bit of change in their lives? I need a little change in my life, so I'm just going to be honest with you guys. You know, I think we need to accept the fact that God has called us to continue to grow. Amen. And I believe today lives could really be changed if you just pay attention and lean in just a little bit. Amen. So I'm excited because today we're going to be talking about the story of Esau and Jacob. Now, most people know the story of the lentil soup, right, where Esau came home, he was starving, and Jacob was making soup, and Esau traded his birthright for that soup, which is lentil soup, which is disgusting. I don't understand how you can, listen, we'll have a debate after, and we'll pray for you later after service if you really like lentil soup. All right? We'll lay hands over you, but it's not good. It's not good. Lentil soup is not good. I'll tell you that right now. I ain't trading nothing for lentil soup. But he traded his birthright. This is a different story. This comes a few chapters later. And this is a story of Esau coming to his father for his blessing. His father is now old, Isaac. He's now blind and he's growing old. And he understands that it's time to pour the blessing over the oldest son. And here comes Esau ready for the blessing. And the father tells him, okay, go and make me my favorite meal. Go and make me my favorite meal. And then when you come back, I'll put the blessing over you. I'm going to eat first, of course, because I need to be in a full stomach. But then I'm going to pray over you this blessing, right? So Esau, he goes ahead and goes and tries to catch the best goat, right, for his father to come and make his favorite meal. But little did Esau know that Rebekah, one of Isaac's wives, come on, this sounds like something straight out of Real Housewives of Hollywood. You know, you hear She hears what's going on. She says, okay, I need to get my son, Jacob, the one that already stole the blessing, right? I need to get Jacob. And Jacob, come here. This is what I need you to do, okay? Go and grab one of the best goats that we have in the backyard, okay? Bring it to me. I'm going to make your father's favorite meal. You're going to put on your brother's clothes. We're going to skin the goat, and we're going to put the skin over you because your brother's real, real hairy, and you're not. Okay, first of all, how hairy do you have to be to like, like goats, like that, they're hairy. That's fur. But she said, we're going to put this over your arms, and your father's going to think that it's you because he's kind of blind and he's old. He's not even going to know. He's going to think that you're Esau. So that's exactly what happens. You know, Jacob, he goes to his father and says, I'm Esau, I'm here. Here's your meal. The father, he's like, I don't believe you. You don't sound like him. Come over here. Let me touch you. He touches him. He's like, yeah, you're hairy. You're definitely Esau. And then as soon as he pronounces the blessing over Jacob, Esau walks into the picture. Can you imagine that for a second? You're out there doing what you're supposed to be doing, and you come back and you think you're ready to receive the blessing that's supposed to lead you into the plan that God has for your life, but yet someone got there before you. Come on, that can brew up some offense, can it? And we're going to read in Genesis chapter 27, verse 38. It says, Esau pleaded, but do you have one blessing? Oh, my father, bless me too. Then Esau, he broke down and he wept. In verse 39, finally, his father Isaac said to him, you will live away from the richness of the earth and away from the dew of the heaven above. You will live by your sword and you will serve your brother. Come on, that does not sound like a blessing to me. Amen. But listen in verse, as it continues, but when you decide to break free, you will shake his yoke from your neck. When you decide to break free, you will shake his yoke from your neck. And in verse 41, from that time on, Esau hated Jacob because their father had given Jacob the blessing. And Esau began to scheme, I will soon be mourning my father's death. Then I will kill my brother Jacob. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been there in your life where you feel like you're doing all the right things? You know, you're showing up to work early. You're doing what you're supposed to be doing. You're being the best husband that you can be, the best wife, the best father and mother that you can be. But yet somehow, for some reason, it does not go the way it's supposed to go. You're planning. You're doing all the right things. You think you're going to receive that blessing. But the moment you get there, it seems like people continue to close doors on your face. And that can brew up some offense. This is what Esau did. Esau was doing all the right things. Yet he ended up being overlooked, disrespected, and insulted. Now, I don't know where you stand today in your life, but maybe you've been going through something very similar. You may be trying to do the right thing, but it seems like everything is just falling apart around you. Amen. And I can definitely relate to that. And my wife can definitely relate to that because I'm going to share a story with you guys. Some of you guys know my wife, she's an English major. She's finishing her last year at school. Amen. It's been a road, but she's there. She's almost there. And now, being an English major is not easy. I'm going to tell you that right now. Like, when I first heard about it, I was like, how is English a major? How is English a class? Okay, like, it's a language. You know what I mean? But some English majors are now taking disrespect to this right now. No offense, all right? But, you know, it's actually really hard. She has to read a lot of books. I don't remember how many exactly she read this summer, but it was a lot. More than I've read in ever, okay? Like, I'll be honest, I don't read a lot, if ever. But my wife, she did, you know, and she's always been an overachiever. Now, I myself, I know I'm a youth pastor. I'm supposed to say, school is great, yeah. I'm not, okay? I know the blessing that comes from being faithful in school, right? And being disciplined in school, I get that. But the process isn't the best, you know? But I believe you can have joy in the process as well. That's a different message. But you know, it was hard. And she really worked really hard. There was this 10-page paper she had to write. And she worked really, really hard. She's very proud about her work, you know? And she brought it up to her teacher and to the professor. And she turned the paper in and she got the paper back. And it was just like, these words were the ones exactly that the professor used. Now, I look at it, and I'm like, that's not a big deal. Cool, like, I still got a good grade. The paper was clunky. Okay, the word clunky. I don't know, some of you guys are like, ah! I'm like, all right, cool. Like, what's my grade? Like, the comments are great, but what's my grade, you know? But she really took that to heart, you know? And she took an offense to that. And it was really hard for her to get through it. And she was texting me, like, I'm in the border of tears right now. And I'm thinking, I need to go and drive and meet this guy right now. Because I don't want you crying, you know? But the reality is, you know, the enemy will attack you in areas that you're most proud of. he's not going to go after the things that you know you need to work on, right? I know I'm not good at that, so hey, it's not a big deal. But no, it's the thing that you've been working at the most, the thing that you've been devoting your life at the most, those nights that you've been spending with your children. The enemy will attack you in areas where you're really proud of, the things that you've really been working towards, the thing you've been devoting your life's work to. That's the thing that the enemy will attack you on. And this, of course, can brew up some offense. But you got to understand this. It is that thing you're most proud of that the enemy wants to take away from you. Amen? So we've all experienced offense at one point or another. I don't know where it's coming from in your life. Maybe it's from your kids. Or maybe it's from your marriage. Maybe it's something that your husband or your wife said. Maybe it's something that, hello, your pastor said. Okay, it got real quiet just now. It got real awkward. But maybe it's something that a leader said to you because they care enough about you to tell you the truth and not lie to you to make you feel good. But they're speaking life into you, yet you're taking it, right, as an offense. But the fact is this, the reason why we take this to heart is because we don't take responsibilities for our offenses. This is going to challenge some people, I believe, and I know you guys are not jumping up and screaming, but this is really going to challenge some people because maybe you're struggling with an offense right now. You've been going through this for a long time. But the reason you can't let it go, it's up to you. The title of today's message is, it's up to you. It's up to you. Maybe you're here today and you've been dealing with an offense for a long time. You've been carrying this weight around. It's important for us to work through our offenses and get past them. Why? Because what starts as an offense leads to bitterness. And bitterness leads away from God. See, you might not think it's a big deal right now. No, you know, I'm just upset with them. It's not a big deal. But then years go by and you're not talking to the person anymore. But it all started as a little comment that they said to you in the church lobby. But all of a sudden, you don't even want to see their face. And the moment you think about their name, you get bitter. So what started as an offense brewed up into bitterness. Amen. So I just have a couple points to you because I think people here today need to break loose from the yoke of bitterness and the yoke of offense. Amen. So if you're taking notes right now, which I hope you are, there's a special place in heaven for you if you do. I'm kidding. There's not. Don't take that. Don't quote that. Number one, you got to deal with it. You have to deal with it. Offenses that go unspoken lead to bitterness and separation. And you know what? It all starts, like I said, with a little offense. It all starts with a little comment. You know, I've never met somebody who, you guys know, like celebrities, right? When they get a divorce, what do they say? Oh, we grew apart. It was a mutual decision. We just grew apart. You hear people nowadays getting a divorce and they say, well, what happened? You guys were so happy. You looked like you had it all put together. What happened? We just grew apart. We just grew apart. Maybe the relationships that you've had in your life, where you say, well, we just grew apart. But oftentimes, it's not just that you grew apart. It's that there was a little offense that went unspoken. And then another offense that went unspoken. Before you know it, it's a snowball effect. And you find yourself away from this person, but you think you just grew apart. Amen? You got to know. You know, and it starts, like I said, with the little things. There were small offenses that led to big things. You know what? In marriage, I'm talking about the little offenses like not doing the dishes. Hello. That's for me. Like the little offenses, that's like not doing the dishes, like not taking the trash out, like not putting the toilet seat down. Can I get an amen? Any men frustrated that you keep getting to? Okay. We're not going to get into that. But you know, it's the little comments, the little things that begin to build up. And before you know it, you've built up offense because of your offense. You've built up a wall against these people and these situations because of the things that they're saying to you. The little offenses, they roll up. People don't decide to leave church overnight. People don't decide to leave church overnight. What does that mean? It brews up. Right? One comment, hey, I want to join the band. Great. Can you come next month? No, I want to join the band like this Sunday. Oh, well, there's a process to that. And the offense begins to brew up. Well, I'm that good that I should be on stage tomorrow. Well, that's good for you, but where's your heart at? You might have a good, don't confuse a good gift for a good heart. Too many people try to explain their gift to people, and they say, I'm really, really good at this, Pastor. Please use me in this area. I feel like I could really make a difference. Great. Can you go stack chairs? Because I need to see your heart before I see your gift. Amen. I need to see your heart first. Long-term offenses, they lead to long-term division, and it all starts with distraction. Come on, I'm going to call my wife up here for a second. Come on, give it up for Pastor Jordan. I was listening to a message a while back, and I saw this illustration. I really loved it. I think But we don't realize, especially when it comes to marriage and strong relationships, that God has put in your life for a reason. You know, a strong relationship is not just someone who's going to stand by you and be a yes man. It's someone who's going to challenge you. If you have friends in your life you've had for a long time, but they've never argued with you, you need to check that. Because a friend that challenged you is a good friend that wants to see you grow. Right? So here we are, right? This is a common relationship where we are looking at each other and we're focused on each other, which is awesome. That's what God wants, right? But we don't realize that the more that we argue and the more that it's a back and forth fight, you want to swing at me? No? Oh, the more that it's a back and forth argument and we're focused on this, we don't realize what the enemy is doing on the outside. You're wondering why your family's falling apart because you're so focused on the little offenses that you brewed up in your marriage. You're wondering why things are falling apart at your job, but you're so focused on what's going on with this one-on-one situation. You don't realize what God is trying to do around you and what the enemy's trying to do to battle that. So instead of focusing on this, we're going to talk about it. We're going to get through it and we're going to get back to back and we're going to continue to fight the good fight that God has called us to fight. But we're not focused just on each other. We're focused on what the enemy's trying to do around us. Because it's not a distraction, it's an offense. Amen. I know you want to go back to back. It's all good. Come on, give it up for my wife. We're so focused on this, we don't realize it's really a distraction against what God is trying to do around us and really keeping us away from realizing what the enemy is trying to do to you and through you. Come on, let's get smart about this. There's a strategy to this. You guys didn't realize. You thought the enemy was just going to come at you and it was going to be very evident. The enemy's one of the biggest strategies he uses is distraction. We need to realize this, right? So these offenses, you might think it's just a little offense, but before you realize it's been years, you've been arguing about it. And it's distraction that's leading to people or things going on around you that's building up. So we need to realize it's just a distraction. You know what? It's not about being right. It's about doing what is right. It's not about being right. I know you might think you have the right to say these things, and maybe you are right in the situation, but it's not about being right. It's about doing what is right. So let me ask you this, okay? In your marriage today, if there's some offenses that are brewing up or in relationships that you have today, if there's something that's going on, ask for forgiveness even though you know you're right. Ask for forgiveness even though you know you're right. That's going to be hard for you. And if you're having a hard time right now and that's hitting your heart right now, let me tell you, that's God speaking to you. Because you need to ask for forgiveness even though it is not your fault. Amen. So we're gonna go through these kinds of things. I love my wife. I just want to say that. That's why we need to deal with things right away. We need to deal with things right away. I'm the kind of person that I tell her how it is. Anybody with me? I tell her how it is. Like, I love you, and I'm going to love you through this, but I'm going to also speak the truth in the moment of it. Right? I'm not just going to act like everything's good. I always say this. One of my best friends, I love him to death, you know. But I don't want to just see him happy. I want to see him live a long life and be blessed by God through it, right? And I think too many of us we think, well, when your friends say, you know, they tell you, hey, I'm thinking about doing this, and you're like, good. I just want to see you happy. If you're happy, I'm happy. No. I want to see you blessed. I want to see you in favor. I want to see you walking the life that God has planned for your life. So no, I don't care if you're mad at me. I want to see you blessed. It's not about being happy. It's about being joyful. Amen. So I tell how it is. Like I said, and the other day we were at my wife's home, and we were going through you know a conversation, and there was just like some stuff going on, and there was some tension going on, and I said, you know what, this is really awkward. I'm a very awkward person sometimes, so I was like, I'm just gonna throw it out there. This is what's going on. Like, we gonna talk about this, and it got real awkward, real silent for a second, just for a second, but it was worth it because the thing that was brewing up inside was able to come out and we were able to talk about it. Too many of us were like, no, hey, let me give you a hug. Let me act like everything's good and let me walk away and keep looking at you because I don't know if I turn around, you're going to stab me in the back. We need to actually talk about it. Stop waiting for them to bring it up to you. Why don't you actually go and deal with it? It's up to you. Amen. Look, touch three people. Tell them it's up to you. It's up to you. It's up to you. We need to talk and deal with it. We live in the times of sleeping things off, right? I'm just going to sleep it off. Hey, just go and sleep it off. Don't worry about it. You'll deal with it in the morning, right? Just go and sleep it off because you're going to feel better in the morning. That's true. You know why? Because you forget about it, but you didn't deal with it, right? We say, well, no, I felt better. You know, I'm in a better mood. That's great. But are you going to talk about it in the morning or are you just going to act like it didn't even happen? Because too many of us, we're in that I'm gonna sleep it off society, and we just say, well, I'm gonna go to bed in the middle of an argument, and when I wake up, I'm gonna feel better, and we're gonna act like it didn't even happen. But we don't realize that weeks go by and we still haven't talked about it. And then a year goes by and we haven't talked about it. And then a decade goes by and I'm bringing up the argument from 10 years ago because we never dealt with it. And you're wondering why you're brewing up this bitterness against this person. The moment you see them walking through the doors of the church, you're like, why do I have this against them? You need to deal with it. Something went unspoken years ago that you never talked about. And it's brewing up in your heart and you've already forgotten what it is. It doesn't matter what it is. Just ask for forgiveness. Amen. We live in the times, like I said, of sleeping things off. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, it says this. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. For anger gives a foothold to the devil. This is so good, guys. This is so good. Why? Because our mind is a dark place. You know, most people that I talk to, and they tell me they're struggling with anxiety, they're struggling with depression. I say, well, what do you mean? Can you talk a little bit further about it? They say, well, when I lay in bed at night by myself, I begin to get these thoughts in my head. And I'm like, well, okay, so you're telling me that when you're by yourself, isolated, when you are in the dark, not being able to see anything around you and the reality of what's going on in your life, but rather focusing on what's going on in your mind, and when you have no one to hold you accountable, you begin to get these thoughts in your head. The Bible says, don't go to bed angry. Why? Because that anger that started off as, well, you should have done the dishes today. Or, hey, I don't really like that hat. All of a sudden, is that person hates me. Wow. Are they really my friend? Wow. Like, my kid really told me that I looked old. Am I really that old? Am I getting, and all of a sudden you're in a midlife crisis, but it all started with just a little comment that brewed up into bitterness. Because your mind is a dark place. You need to get out of your mind and get into God's word. The moment you start getting these thoughts in your head, say, no, I know that this is going on in my head, but I take this thought captive. And instead of believing what is being said to me, I'm going to believe what has already been spoken over me in the word of God. So I'm going to get back to the word. Get back to the word of God, because that's the reality of my life. What seems like real, what's going on around me, that's really a confusion, a delusion of what the enemy's trying to do in me. But I know what God has already spoken over me. Amen? Amen. So number one, you got to deal with it. You got to deal with the offense. Number two, and this is going to be a hard one for some people, you got to grow through it. You have to grow through it. The problem with today's generation is we get offended about absolutely everything. My goodness, I'm talking because I'm part of that generation myself. Right? We get offended about everything. There's not a single thing you can say without everybody blowing up. You know, and I have to walk around on an eggshell, especially as a pastor. Maybe you're a leader or whatever, and if you're a leader, you need to walk around eggshells, and you know what I'm talking about, because people are so quick to point fingers. It'll be a year later, and you're like, yeah, well, you need to do this. Well, you said this a year ago. What? That was like a 3-second comment. All of a sudden, you're bringing it up now a year later, but they held on to that offense. And we need to be very careful. At the same time, let's just admit it. We're a soft generation. We're a soft generation. We get offended about absolutely everything. You know, the reason why, though, is because we've been told our whole lives that we're the best at everything. Woo! I'm going to need an escort to leave this place. Police escort. We've been told our whole lives that we're good at absolutely everything. Right? But you know, because of participation awards. And you already know my heart on that. Like, my dad, he used to keep score. I told you guys this one time. My dad used to keep score when I was playing soccer as a kid. No one else kept score but my dad. And I'd be like, yeah, man, look at this. We tied or we won. He's like, no, you didn't. You lost by 15 goals. I don't know what you're talking about. You need to go to bed and practice. But the fact is, we've been told that we're good at everything. And the moment someone disagrees with what we've been told, we get angry. Right? We get angry. We focus. And the fact is this, we focus more on the offense than we focus on the compliments. You want to know how this is true? Today, right after the service, go up to somebody at the church and say, hey, you look awesome today. Or, hey, I really like that shirt. Or somebody on the band even. Go up to them and say, hey, you sang really well today. Watch how awkward people get. No, man. Oh, not me, man. All God. All God, man. Not me. All God, man. Hey, no. Not me, man. Hey, all God. You know? And before you know it, they're like crouched down in the corner. Not me, man. Not me. They're like blocking themselves. We're so awkward at taking compliments because we think that, well, you know, it's just God. It's just, and yes, it is God. But you have to remember that God chose you for a reason. God made you the way that you are for a reason. So take the compliment, continue to work on your gift, and know that God has blessed you with it. Take ownership of it. Take ownership of it. Stop blocking the compliments. Accept them, because the moment that someone says something bad, hey, next time just say this a little differently maybe. Or hey, maybe next time just sing this note a little differently maybe. Or hey, try to maybe do this differently. And we'll never forget about that. But we won't. But we forget the compliment real fast, yet we never forget the offense. We never forget the offense. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, it says this. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. If you live for people's approvals, you will die by the lack of it. If you live for people's approvals, you will die by the lack of it. You know, in my marriage, one of the things that I've learned to do is check in with my wife, you know, and really ask her, how am I doing? You know, we might be going through a season where everything's just going really fast and we're so focused on this and that. And I need to slow down sometimes and really ask, how am I doing? You know, how am I doing? And I'll never forget the last time I asked, how am I doing? She was very honest with me in areas that I really wasn't aware that I needed work on. But she said, you know, I asked, how am I doing? And she said, well, you're doing great in this, and this. But I feel like I really need your help in these other areas. And I need you to really step up in these other areas. I took so much offense to that. It was days that went by where I held on to that offense and I couldn't let go of it. Yet I didn't realize she was just trying to improve our marriage. She was trying to improve me as a husband. She was trying to encourage me, challenge me, and build me as a husband. But what I saw was, you're telling me I'm not doing something already that I should already be doing. And I took it to heart. See, sometimes we're so blinded by the offense, we don't see the opportunity for growth. We're so blinded by what we don't want to hear that we don't realize that is the very thing we needed to hear in order to grow. Right? And it's important that we realize this. Too often, our ability to get easily offended leads to missed opportunities for growth. You know, Pastor Jordan, I was just talking about her paper, the 10-page paper, and how offended she got at the time. But once she was able to get over the offense, she wrote a 10-page paper that the professor loved. But it's because she got over the offense and was able to grow through it. Amen? You have to grow through it. 20-page paper. I apologize. You had to point 20-page paper. It was 20. Double the amount, okay? She's awesome. We ask God for growth so often, but we don't like the process of growing. Come on, somebody. You see, I love it when people come up to us as pastors and they say, I need guidance. I have this decision in front of me and I need you to really help me. I've been praying about this and I feel like this is what God is calling me to do. And I say, let me pray about it first. Come on, if a pastor doesn't tell you, let me pray about it first. You need to ask some questions. Every time that we've gone out to Pastor Chad and Pastor Julius, let us pray about it. This is what we feel right now, but let us pray about it. So when you come back to us and you say, well, I don't believe what you told me is true. Well, we went back to the word. We prayed about it. You came to us. We didn't go to you. And you didn't like what you heard, yet you got offended because it wasn't what you thought it was. Right, too many people, they're leaving the church because they asked for guidance, but the guidance wasn't exactly what they thought it was. The Bible tells us a man may make their plans, but God is going to guide their steps. And if you're making your plans, I'm going here, and God's like, you need to go here. You're like, I'm not going there. You hit a wall, and you wonder, God, where were you? I told you to turn around already. Come on. Don't ask for guidance, but don't like to be guided. Right, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11, it says this, for the moment, all discipline, somebody say all discipline, not just some, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Growth does not feel good, but it is good. Growth doesn't feel good, but it is good. I have a little nephew. His name is Mason. Beautiful little boy. If you guys have seen him, most gorgeous boy I've ever seen in my life. And he's dangerous to be around, especially when I'm with my wife, because the mind starts going. You guys remember I told you, like, the mind is a dark place? Well, if you get around this boy, her mind starts going. You guys catch what I'm saying? Like, yeah, okay. But Mason, he's gonna turn a year old this December, and he's growing so fast. And he started to get his teeth recently. His teeth started to come in, and you parents know what I'm talking about, right? That hurts. And this boy, he's biting absolutely everything. I'm talking about faces, arms, things he can get inside of his mouth. Whatever it is, he's biting. And you guys think these little teeth don't hurt? Oh, they hurt. I have a dog, and they hurt. You know, but he's adorable, and he's growing. But I've seen the change in him because he cries because it's so painful and it hurts so much. But what he doesn't understand is that he needs this growth to happen so that he can feed himself and actually survive. Too many of us, we're crying about the pain of growth, but we don't realize this is exactly the growth that you need. The pain that you're going through is necessary for the next season of your life. So deal with this offense now so you can grow for that season later. It's going to hurt right now. It's not going to feel good, but we need to learn to grow through it. Amen. Tell somebody, grow through it. Grow through it. Grow through it. Stop getting offended about it. Instead, learn to grow through it. And lastly, number three, we need to learn to lead from it. Lead from it as the keys come back. And this is going to be, I think, the most challenging one of all. This is going to be the hardest one of all because it involves forgiveness. And everybody just got real quiet. It involves forgiveness. You see, Esau, when he came back and he saw what his brother did, he begged for a blessing. He begged his father for a blessing. Father, I know you have one more in you. I've been working so hard. I went and got the goat. I've made your meal. Here it is. I've done what I'm supposed to be doing. I know you have one more in you. I don't deserve this. I don't deserve this hate. I don't deserve this offense. I've been doing what you've called me to do, God. God, I've been trying to be a good father, but it seems like my kids just keep turning against me. God, I'm trying to do what I'm supposed to be doing at my job, but it seems like my boss is just on my back 24/7. God, what am I doing wrong? I know you have one more blessing in you. I know you have one more blessing in you. And it says in Genesis chapter 27, verse 39, finally, his father Isaac said to him, "You will live away from the richness of the earth and away from the dew of the heavens above. You will live by your sword and you will serve your brother. But when you decide to break free, you will shake his yoke from your neck." See, what looked like a curse was actually an opportunity for freedom. And to many of us, we're sitting here, we're enjoying the yoke over our necks. And we've been carrying this thing. If you guys don't know what a yoke is, it's something that is put around cows or different animals, really, to pull weight, to pull things around. And you've been pulling this weight for a very long time. And you feel the weight over your shoulders and on your back, and you see how it's affecting the people around you because you're putting your offense now on them as well. And we're talking to people, and we're telling people what somebody else did to us, not realizing we're putting the yoke on their necks as well. And you've been carrying this weight around. It's time to let go of the yoke that you've been putting over your shoulders. See, you have to decide. It's up to you. Stop playing the blame game. I know that what they did wasn't right. I know that what they said wasn't right. I know that this thing has been brewing up for a long time and it does not feel good. And I know that they deserve what they deserve. But guess what? You did not deserve what you got either. When a man came and hung on that cross for us, we did not deserve that at all. He did not wait for us to ask for forgiveness. He just did it. And to many of us, we're sitting here and you have the right to be upset, but you have an obligation to forgive. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, it gives us the picture of the reunion. It says, actually, no, in Ephesians 4, 32, it says, "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you." You cannot let the past dictate your future. You cannot let the past dictate your future. We cannot stay stuck on something that is no longer relevant. Some of you, and this is going to break some hearts here this morning, and this is going to affect you, but this is going to grow you. Some of you here this morning are waiting on an apology that's never going to come. And you've been waiting for years for this thing to come, and it's never gonna come. And you're allowing this offense that happened years ago to impact your life today when it has no relevance or impact on what you're about to do. Stop waiting on an apology that's never gonna come. I'm not justifying what they did to you, I'm not saying that what they did, it wasn't a big deal or whatever happened, happened. But guess what? They're not worth your tears. They're not worth those tears anymore. You've cried enough over this. It's time to let it go. I know it hurt. I know it wasn't right. I know it wasn't supposed to happen. But guess what? It is time to let it go. Stop carrying this weight. It was never meant for you to carry. Forgiveness begins with you. And this is where the reunion it happens in Genesis chapter 33, verse 4. It says that Jacob, he hears that Esau is coming. And Jacob is now married. He's ran away from home. He no longer talks to his brother. He doesn't even know anything about him. But it says that Jacob, he heard that Esau was coming. And he put his wives and his kids behind him. And as he saw his brother approaching with 400 men, the Bible says that he bowed 7 times in hope of finding mercy in Esau's eyes. And he bows before him, and it says this in Genesis chapter 33, verse 4. Then Esau ran to meet him and embraced him, threw his arms around his neck and kissed him, and they both wept. This is the picture of forgiveness. This is the picture of the gospel. When we ran away from God, he welcomed us with arms wide open. He did not get offended about it. He forgave us and he let it go. It says, the story goes on to say that Jacob offered, let me get my man and let us take you. Let me feed you. Let me do all this stuff for you. And Esau said, I don't need that anymore, because I know that you felt like you stopped my life, but I've broken off that yoke from my neck and I am moving forward. I don't need that anymore. I've got my own. I don't need your approval anymore. I've got my own, because God already spoke something over me that matters more than whatever you did to me. And as I was talking last night to my wife about this, she pointed something so beautiful. And it's the English major in her, you know. She said this. She said, you know what's amazing is at the beginning of the story, it says that Esau, he wept from bitterness. But yet we see here at the end of the story that Jacob and Esau, they weep for forgiveness. And maybe you're here and it's hitting you. It's hitting home. And you feel like you're about to explode and you're about to fall into tears. That's because what was once the yoke around your neck is coming off. And you feel that weight of freedom coming off of you. And let me tell you, it's going to draw some emotions, but it's good. It's good. You need this.
We hope you've enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church. For more information about Metro Church, please visit our website at www.metro-church.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter.